Ever wanted to know what it takes to become a successful trader? Alex shares his journey to becoming a trader and interviews successful traders along the way to help you. You're listening to Be the Trader.
What's up, everybody? I just want to remind you that I'm also on YouTube. So look me up at Be The Story or Be The Trader, just the letter B. I'm also partnered with Cobra Trader. They're a great broker for short sellers. If you're looking for a broker who will always have borrows for you at a great discounted rate, let them know that you heard from me on the show and they will give you the same discount that I have. This episode is sponsored by TickPlex by Financial Decor. These guys create really beautiful custom design ticker plaques with your favorite ticker symbols that you can decorate your home office, your bedroom, or anywhere you'd like of your favorite tickers, whether you had a big win or a loss, kind of like a trophy is the way I see it. I love these designs. They're designed on a beautiful wooden plaque, and also they are laser printed. Check them out, TickPlex by Financial Decor, and make sure to use the coupon code BETHETRADER, one word, just the letter B, the trader, and you'll get a discount as well. It's all explained in the notes and in the description. Thank you for your patience. Now let's get this episode started. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Be The Trader. Today, I want to share with you just the month of September, how a month has been going for me, and am I still on the right track or did I come off? But not only that, but who I have coming on the show coming soon and some things that I've learned and picked up from interviewing different people on the show. Now, first off, I'm still consistently profitable, thank God, and still grinding out. September has been I shouldn't even trade it the whole month of September. In fact, if you've been listening to me on YouTube, sometimes I'll do live shows on YouTube, which don't show up on the podcast. So if you're listening to this podcast, thank you. And if you can, give the show a rating and review on any of the platforms you're listening on. If you're watching on YouTube, please hit that thumbs up, subscribe. And don't forget, guys, I'm partnered with Cobra. So if you guys are ever looking for a good broker, reach out to them. Let them know you heard from me. Get a great discount. With that being said, I wanted to talk about September has been very, very slow. Right, it's been a very slow month, and as I'm recording this, we finally had some momentum, some really big movers. I'm talking SPI, I'm talking SUNW, POLA, CREG, DGLY. There were all these stocks that were just moving, and it was that most of those, the beginning tickers I mentioned, are a sector momentum play, doing with energy and electric vehicles. And so I actually brought on Roland Wolf yesterday and recorded an episode that should be coming out soon. And we discussed sectors because when I met Roland 3 years ago, 2018, 17, somewhere around there, and sat with him at his office for a week straight. Like, we hung out. And this is when he first started getting his momentum going and finding some success. So really at the beginning of his rise. And so I was kind of watching someone kind of find their bearings and see them be successful, although he wasn't able to really translate that through words at the time, but it was fun to see. And at that time, he was really good at catching momentum. I think it was during the weed sector at that time, maybe, but he was catching the weed sector, the Bitcoin. He watched dry ships. This is one of his first sectors he saw. And so we talked about sectors and momentum, and that's one of his favorite patterns or strategies. And the reason it is because it gives you exponential gains. And it really can. I mean, with SPI, that spiked up 4,000% today. 4,000%. There were many, many, many people who blew up on SPI, who blew up on the tickers before that, which is Kodak, NAOV. They were priming this momentum. They were priming this move. And I talk about this on a live show I did on Be The Trader, which was on YouTube. And most of you guys, if you're listening on the podcast, you don't see that because it doesn't post on the podcast. It's just a live YouTube episode. But the reason this happens is because it's been slow all of September, right? I mentioned before that I've only been trading. I think this week I placed 2 trades. Last week, I think it was 3. And the week before that was 2. Like, it's been really, really slow. And I feel like I shouldn't even be trading at all. And I know some traders who took it the whole month off. Like Tim Grittani pretty much took the whole month off. Talking to him, he's just basically on vacation mode. Ducks is pretty much the same way. And I mean, you have like Phil Goedeker. He nailed some badass shorts this month, but he only traded a couple times because he's been very, very MIA because it's a slow month. So I hear people saying that they don't want to miss this opportunity today, right? Because there's a huge mover. And I know I'm kind of bouncing here, but I want to answer that right away. They said, I don't want to miss the best opportunities today. And I think the problem is people say it's the best opportunity because it's the only one we've seen, yeah, in the whole month. And there's something to be said, like, just because it's the best opportunity right now in terms of what we have available doesn't mean it's easy, right? And that, I'm looking for the best in the easy plays. And that happens after this. So after these sector momentum just got hyped, everything just moved for the first 2 days, then the next couple of days, that's the momentum usually carries on. And those are the easier plays. And you know this because Seven Points Capital, they just released a video not too long ago of their traders, you know, getting ripped up on SPI on the front side. And it happens to a lot of us. And people are hitting their max loss. I know a couple of traders who actually blew up their accounts. And so it sucks to hear that. But it comes down to you have slow markets. So everyone is used to slow market. Maybe they're shorting and things are just slowly dying, but not really dying. Like there's not real range, but they're taking scalps here and there, but they're sizing in big maybe because they want to take some kind of money. What is the problem? They're focused on money instead of just taking time off, waiting for the run to come back. And then when that one play comes, when they're sized in too big and then they don't get out quick enough and then they're like, wait, I'll wait till it comes back and it doesn't come back, then they blow up. It happens time and time again. And that's when the sector got on fire. And that was yesterday. SPI just caught on fire. Literally, I was short it. I was definitely short. It was one of my A-plus setups. And I even said this on the show. I think it was on the live show that, like, I'm going to be a part of this squeeze. I know it's coming. Like, there's mirages, right? We see these, like, it's been a dry season. And so we're all thirsty. We want something to drink. We want that A-plus setup. And I knew when that A-plus setup comes, I'm going to be a part of it. I know that. And I know that's okay. Because I know that when I'm a part of it, I'm going to cut it when it goes against me and hits my risk. 100%. That's one thing I will not break. And if I do break, I won't be here. And that's what happens to many traders. Like if they break that rule, they end up losing. And I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want it to happen to me. So you got to stick to your plan. And I actually start sizing up big this month, which is, at the end of the day, dumb, right? It's so slow. So I haven't really got much practice, but I've had some practice. And I was sized up much bigger than I normally am. And during that time, you know, I ended up making like a small gain out of that trade. But that doesn't matter. Like that, who cares? What matters is I cut it. And if I didn't cut it, I would have been for a ride and never went back down. And it went up from that moment on. I think when I cut it, it was like 200% or 300%. It went to 4,000%. It would have blew me up, guaranteed. If I would have been any kind of stubborn, if I would have been like, let me wait for a pullback, then it would have made me eager to wait for another pullback. Maybe it'll come back. And that is a recipe for disaster. So I knew I was gonna be part of this. I knew it, it's inevitable. Like that's what creates these badass moves. They give you an A-plus setup, right? Who's they? The manipulators, the ones who, the algorithms. You've been hearing this on my show lately. I've interviewed quite a few traders in the past who bring this up actually. I think Mike Spinoza, that episode should already be live when this goes live. He talks about that recently. So is Phil Goedeker. I brought him back on the show because he was talking about that. He's been noticing this. And I've noticed it too. Like, they want you to see an opportunity that looks perfect, but doesn't act perfect, right? When you get in an opportunity and you're like, this is not acting as normal as it would. And let me give you an example because you guys are probably like, what the hell are you talking about? So my favorite setup is a gap and crap. I like something that's up 100, 200% ideally, but even if it's up 50%, I'll take a stab at it. This play, it's been dry the entire month, okay? Let me put the scene. The entire month of September, it's been dry. We haven't had anything that's gapped up above like 60%, really. And then today, and I'm put in the scene. And today I'm looking at the stock market, pre-market, and I see a stock up 100%. And I'm like, this is awesome. And I was also like aware that we haven't seen this in a while. And I got kind of scared and I was like, maybe I should pass this up. But then part of me was like, I don't want to pass up on my A+ setup because it looked like it was setting up properly. It was spiking pre-market. Then I believe, and this is off memory, it was spiking near high a day right before the open for the pre-market high. I think it barely broke it and then shoved at the open. And I was short near that high. And I like to short in that shove. And the reason I like to short there is because the odds are very high. It is scary. Don't get me wrong. It's scary because you could be wrong. But the only reason it can't be scary, though, is because you're disciplined. So like when you're wrong, you cut right away. Like there is no question. And right away doesn't mean like when it's against me. Like it doesn't mean that. Don't hear the wrong message. It means when it hits my risk. And what is that? It's predetermined before I enter the trade. And so what I'm saying is, I knew I was going to be a part of this. So I took my trade and then it went for me and I sized in a lot more than usual. And I ended up taking profits along the way down and held a huge core for my big move and didn't give it to me. And it went against me. I cut it. And so that kept me alive. And so these dry times are going to bring those stubborn shorts and then they are going to get squeezed. And that's what happened. Now, talking about all this, going back to sector momentum, I want you guys to know that sector momentum, a big tip, because today I traded nothing but sector momentum, is find the leader. When you find the leader, then find a couple of other stocks that are moving, right, in correlation to the leader, right? They're kind of moving identically. And then you want to watch them for a while because you want to get a feel for how they act and how do they move when the leader moves. Do they move right away? Do they move at the exact same time? Or is there an hour lag, a 20-minute lag, a 5-minute lag? Figure that out. I personally today saw that one of the stocks of the three I was watching moved in delay of the other two. The leader would move. The second one would move pretty quickly after that, like maybe a minute. And then the lagger removed maybe within 2 minutes after the leader. So there was a delay. And a minute or two is eternity in trading. If you've been trading for any time, you know if you're sitting in a position and you're waiting for it to work, a minute could be eternity. So when I noticed that, I immediately took action. And I wanted to wait until I saw the leader looking weak. Once the leader looked weak, right? Once the leader looks weak, I'm also looking for the second leader to kind of give me some kind of sign, like some kind of sign that it's acting weak too. In this case, maybe it's having a push to high day, but showing some slowdown on the tape. Maybe it's starting to break a trend line. Maybe it's starting to slow down and break support. Maybe volume's fading. Something, some kind of trigger. I don't need something huge because a leader is the main trigger, but I want them both to give me something. Once they both gave me a signal, I just took a position on my actual third ticker, right? That's the one I'm going to trade because there's a lag. I didn't take it because I saw something happen in that third ticker. I saw a big picture pattern. Yes, I saw there was a double top in the pattern itself. It was POLA, if you want to pull that chart up, on 9-24-20, September 24th, 2020. There was a double top, but that's not the main reason. I took the position because I saw the leader failing and then the captain failing, right? When I saw that, I felt confident. Took my position right away. Didn't even care about the price. I had an idea of my risk and I said, you know what? I'm going to hold to my risk or, and this could be wrong and I'm open to that and I'm 100%. Sympathy plays is something I'm new at. I've been watching for about 3.5 years, but I'm just now starting to trade it. And I hope that makes sense. And the reason I hope that makes sense is because I used to just trade something I saw right away. And that doesn't really work. You want to watch it over and over and over and then start to probably put in your head how you would trade it and then eventually trade it slowly with smaller size. Like I wasn't risking my big size on my best setups. I was risking a normal size position. And I was trading it differently than my normal trades. Usually, you guys know I like to hold 3-to-1 no matter what. In this case, I was not thinking that way. I was thinking, this is practice. This is an experimentation. And when I thought this was a practice, this was experimentation, I traded it very openly and let the chart tell me. And what I mean by the chart, I was listening to the leader and the captain tell me. If the leader started acting strong and the captain kind of gave me any kind of sign of strength, I got out of my lagger. I just got out. Didn't even care. Didn't care if it was a profit. Didn't care if it was a loser. Didn't care if it hit my wrist. Didn't care if it hit my profit target, because I got in this trade with that plan already in play. Like, my plan before I got in the trade was, I'm taking profits when it gets to my profit target, or when the leader, or when there's signs of reversal. And that may be wrong, but that's right for me. And that's something you need to hear. Like, how you trade is right for you, right? There's so many ways to trade. So many ways to trade. Because so many times I've been in a trade. Scott, my buddy who's been on the show, has been on a trade, and he'll make money and I make money, and we're in two different positions, long and short. There's some times where I'll be short a trade, and then maybe another trader will be short as well, and he'll lose and I'll win, or vice versa. Like, there's so many ways to trade, but you got to trade that's comfortable for you, and you got to follow your plan. And I didn't go in it and then change my plan midway through. I was like, you know what, I'm sticking to this plan. So I made sure when the leader showed me a sign, I got out. Now, at the end of the trade, hours later, I let things settle. And then I start to see and learn more things about that trade because I've experimented it. And that's one thing I want to talk about, sectors. Like, it might be something new for you, like it is for me, like in terms of trading it, in terms of actually putting your money in. There's one thing to watch it, one thing to track it, and there's one thing to trade it. Any trader will agree. When you trade something, you learn so much more. Whether you win or lose, it doesn't matter. You'll learn so much more. And you won't learn it right there in that moment, but you'll learn it. You'll learn some in that moment, and you'll learn after. And that's what happened to me today. And I'm willing to admit, like, my strength is gap and craps. My strength is overextended gaps. My strength is short and breakdowns. Like, that's my strength. My weakness is longing, and I'm not good at that. And then I'm not good at, like, and not that I practice this, but I know it's not my strength on sector plays. But I also know I want to practice. And so when I put that mindset in, I traded it differently, and I was calmer, and I saw it as practice. And so it made me think about that. And when, in terms of sectors, when you're trying something new, think of it as practice, because practice will help you be more open to growth. I really hope that seeps in, right? Because I think you'll be more open to trading and not being scared. And one of the biggest tips that I got from Roland Wolf in his interview about sectors is, he doesn't just look at the laggers. Like, he'll pull up all the sector, like he'll say energy is a hot sector, let me pull up other tickers, and he'll watch them. And he'll watch them, but not only just watch them for a moment, he watches them for some time to kind of get a feel for how they act. And if they start to act different, they show a sign. And the leader's showing a sign. That might be the sympathy play that you need to take or pay attention to. And so you don't just see sympathy plays that you think may work and just put your money behind it, because then you'll be frustrated. Trust me, I used to do that and it sucks. So you don't want to do that. And another tip is, you look at the daily chart. Did these run in sympathy together in the past? If they have, there's a high odds that they may do it again. So that's what I want to leave you guys with today. I appreciate each and every one of you guys watching the show. If you are watching on YouTube, and if you're not, thank you so much for listening. But if you're watching on YouTube, just know I implement the join button. That join button is completely voluntarily. It just means, if you want to support the show in another way rather than just subscribing, which I appreciate very much, so you don't even have to do this, but if you want to, click that join button and find out how, and I'm going to give you a lot of stuff in return for that. So thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it so much, and thanks again, and I hope to see you back on the next Be the Trader. Take care.